to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains. I've got another fantastic guest, like I always do here on the Edge. Hey, hey, hey. It is AJ Arlene Jenness. She's here with us by way of Rancho Santa Fe. She is not only the wife of Dan Jenness, special effects creator for Star Wars, a cinematographer, but also the mother of some over-the-top, successfully children, and a legend in her own right. She's an actress, an author, a designer for set and costume, and a philanthropist. This is going to be a great interview. It's going to be funny, frank, and fun. So, Brains, sit up straight and greet my guest, my dear friend, Arlene Jenness. Welcome to the show, Arlene. How are you?
Good morning. I'm just fine. How are you?
I can't complain about a thing. I'm so happy to have you here on The Edge. You've never been on my show before.
No, I haven't. I've listened to it with great pride. I think you do great work.
Well, thank you, honey. Thank you. You know, you're one of my oldest and dearest friends. We have such a good time when we get together. We just chat it up and go to the finest restaurants, and you teach me so much. You're so smart. Will you teach my Brains a little bit about who you are and tell them a little bit about your history and upbringing in Hollywood?
Well, I grew up kind of not an army brat, but a show business brat. My father managed Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey during the Second World War. And, of course, I was born in 1933, so I was about 10, 11 years old when we ended up on army bases, you know, giving the troops a treat. And then from there, traveled all over the United States, so I was in many places meeting many people very young, and it was a treat to be my father's daughter.
Well, tell us a little bit about your father. Now, you said that he managed, but he did a lot more than that. He was very, very involved in entertainment, but also in social causes as well.
Yes, and he also marched with Martin Luther King. He was very interested in politics, and in the time that he spent in the late 50s, he marched and was jailed along with Martin Luther King. I think I'm most proud of some of the things he did, and then there's some of the things I can't talk about.
Well, you know, that was back in the day. You had to do what you had to do to survive. So moving forward, fast forwarding, tell us a little bit about, you know, your relationships and your wonderful children and Dan, my friend Dan. I love him.
Dan Jenness is my husband of 59 years.
Wow.
And when I met him, he was a young cinematographer just starting out. And my mother said, "You're going to marry a photographer?" And I said, "Mother, he's a cinematographer." She didn't quite know the difference. He ended up very, very successfully having 6 companies in 50 years. He was very instrumental in many things that are now de rigueur in the industry. But he was doing things by hand as an artist and a cinematographer in those days. They didn't have the techie things they have now. So when it came time in the 70s for the technical thing, he went and established Modern Video Film. And then from there went on to other things. But I mean, his story is one of a great Hollywood success story, and I'm very proud of him. He did the first Star Wars, his company, all the special effects, titles and effects.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to get him on the show, too, because he is, again, he's a wealth of information and a wealth of knowledge.
April, he's a very modest man. I can't say too much because he doesn't like when I brag about him.
I know, but I love him, and I'm going to brag about him because I'm going to let him talk for himself when he comes on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about those fantastic kids you guys got. You got 4 of them.
Oh, I've got 4.
They are over-the-top successful.
They are. I'm very proud of them and my six grandchildren. I have to mention them, the loves of my life. My four children are very notable. My daughter is a pillar in the hair care industry. My eldest son is a criminal attorney. And my twin sons, who are 52, they're the babies of the crowd, are event makers, and their company, Event Makers, do many things, among which are things for McDonald's, and of which Ronald McDonald House is a favorite charity of mine.
Yes,
so
it is.
I'm very
really
proud of them.
You do wonderful things for people, you know, just even philanthropic, but not even monetize. You do things from your heart. You give people your information. You share your resources. You take them to fabulous lunches.
I have to say, what I learned from show business people, and I grew up among people like Jimmy Durante, Mickey Rooney, just endless Frank Sinatra, is that show people are the greatest people that give and give and give the heart.
They do, and they're taken, you know, they're taken advantage of. That's one thing that I don't do on the edge is, you know, I have access to very high-profile people, you and other celebrities, you know, producers and actors and actresses, and I don't show up and tell their business. I want them to be regular old people. I want them to enjoy their life. If they say something inappropriate, I want to laugh with them and just let them be who they are, because they give so much in the public life, in the public as a public figure. Tell us some of the wonderful things that you've done in your life. I talk about some of your accolades. I love the story about Frost Nixon, how you worked on the set for that, as well as the play and the movie.
Okay. When David Frost chose to interview President Nixon, who was 2 years out of office, having to resign, he was in San Clemente, and David Frost wanted to get an admission of guilt from him. And the Frost-Nixon interviews aired later in 1977. We spent 31 days with the shoot of that, and David Frost hired me because not only was I an interior designer, but I worked fast. And that was the cooperative word, fast. I had to build a chair for President Nixon to raise his knees because he had phlebitis. And it was very important that he could only work 4 hours a day. That's why it took 31 days to do it. But it was very exciting. All kinds of academic people came and political people came. Diane Sawyer, who was a young, reporter, I say, beautiful young reporter, was
Where's
there.
Where's she at? I haven't seen her in forever.
Oh, she's around. She is around. But he liked the pretty girls. He did.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
Men are getting such a hit now, AJ. You know, they can't even tell a lady that she's pretty, can't give her a peck on the cheek. I don't know what all this male bashing is about, but, you know, I like a man to tell me that I'm
pretty.
Absolutely. You know?
I like the door open.
Absolutely. I don't know what's going on here.
April, I don't think chivalry will ever be dead. It's there to stay.
I hope not, because I dig it. So tell us some of the other great successes that you've had, maybe with your interior design work.
Well, interior design, of course, my mother was a great designer. She used one name in her work, Louise. And in 1962, we founded Louise Studios and then Designer Circle Limited. And we were very successful because they were built in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles. They were building homes everywhere, and people needed furniture, and they needed draperies, and they needed advice. So I was very, very lucky to be in that time frame. I worked for many, many celebrities, among them Vera Miles, who was one of the blondes that Hitchcock was so happy to, you know, promote. And along the way, I came to be known as the interior designer to some of the stars, and some of them were behind the scenes as well. One of my very great clients who had multiple houses and took me to Santa Fe, New Mexico, to help them build and design a home was the Weiners, Jay Weiner, who had platinum records for The Little Mermaid. And that was a treat. Yes, they were wonderful people. And my clients became great, wonderful friends throughout a lifetime. So
My daughter wanted me to definitely tell you how you have been an inspiration and influence to her. I remember when she first started looking into costume design, and you took us out and you mentored her and you told her how important it was to understand the period pieces. And she's done that, and now she has
a
fellowship.
It's a history. Yes.
And
well, my mother went to.
She's doing phenomenal.
My mother went to Parsons, the most prestigious art college, when she was 17 in the early part of the century, and she was implied that history was everything, and that's how I did interior design. When people said, "What is your style?" It was the style, whatever my client wished to have. If I didn't know enough about it, I did research, I studied, and then I came to them and said, "I feel qualified or not qualified to do what you wish." And it became a partnership.
Mm.
So there are all kinds of interior designers. In my case, it was a personable kind of thing. Rich Little in Las Vegas was the biggest trip of all. You know, the mimic Rich Little?
Yeah.
Building a house for him in Las Vegas. I was working with my daughter at the time. Was so much fun because he put us up, of course, coming from Beverly Hills to Las Vegas in the hotel, the Sahara, which was a very historic place, too. I had been introduced to Las Vegas in the Bugsy Siegel days. My dad would go there when it was just a desert. So
and
Rich
they were
Little,
gangsters there. There were real gangsters there then,
oh,
too,
yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I met many of them. Rich Little was very wonderful as a client. He was funny. He was interested in whatever we were doing. And he of course, introduced us to everybody on the strip. And when we weren't working, we were playing.
Oh, boy. I know. Frank Sinatra and
yes,
Dean
Frank
Martin.
Sinatra was a dear friend of my dad's.
I love him. I love him to this day. There's nobody's voice like Frankie. Nobody.
That's right. And when Dan and I had a home in Palm Springs, it was on just off of Frank Sinatra Drive.
Mm. Well, let's catapult to what you are doing now, because I have the honor and the pleasure of being one of your pre-readers for one of your upcoming novels. Can you tell us a little bit about your writing experience? You have such a love for words. The texture and your imagination is just incredible. Share with us.
During the period of time when I was a kid and we were touring all of the Army bases, Navy bases, the one thing that we had were wonderful movies that were given to the servicemen. And when we weren't, when we were able, and we did, sometimes from 9 in the morning till 5 at night, time to go to dinner, we'd watch those wonderful extravaganzas with Errol Flynn and the pirate stories. And anyway, loving history as I did, I think from that time on, it was movies instead of friendships, because I moved around much too much to really make any lasting little friendships. But I had lots of uncles, supposed uncles and aunts, that were in show business, so I really didn't yearn for it. So I watched all these movies because they were free, and they were marvelous, and they were extravaganzas, epics. And I started to write little stories as a child, and poems. I had poems published throughout from the time I was 21, I had my first poem. And from there on, many times, I would go to writers' conferences because I wanted to be among the writers. And it just was, and some people go to operas. I went to writers' conferences and I studied. So therefore, about 6 years ago, I started writing a historical 17th century bodice ripper, a romance novel, paperback, of course. It's not mainstream. And it just encouraged me to continue. And it was a six-year epic. The reason I'm finishing it now, it's in memoriam to a very dear friend I had who has passed on. And her name was Summer Murphy. And the name of my novel, of my 17th century pirate story, is Summer Murphy, A Pirate's Woman. And it's coming on. You're one of my gentle readers.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm telling you, it is gripping. And I'm just taking it all in. And we talk and you say, baby, have you gotten to this part or that part? And I'm like, no, don't spill it for
don't
me.
Don't tell you.
don't spoil it. Don't tell me.
But your comments and the comments of the other gentle readers will give me some input that might make it even better.
Well, you're doing a fantastic job. So, Arlene, what do you do for fun outside of that? I know that you like to swim, and you are just a social butterfly. I mean, you will go into a place, and you'll know everyone by the time that we leave.
Well,
where
did you
find your love for people?
I do love to be with people. I think because I had so few really close friends as a child, I made many close friends as an adult. And, of course, my clients, many of them became very close friends over the years. After all, I've been a designer now for 45 years, so I've collected a lot of people. And my mother used to say, don't collect people. Be aware that some of them are good and some of them are not so good. But
well,
I always like to look on the bright side.
Yes, you are. You are so authentic from the get-go, and that's so important. So share with us some of your dreams for the rest of your life. What else would you like to accomplish,
see? What I like to accomplish? I think a lot of my dreams are gathered up in my children and my grandchildren at this point. I've had such tremendous success, and I've had a wonderful marriage. I've had what a lot of people yearn to have. I have a husband that is the most devoted, and we squabble sometimes. We disagree sometimes, but we always
that's a ethnic term, squabble. So I love it. That's from L.A. You know, we squabble.
Well, I have a lot, you know, there are a lot of Yiddish expressions in show business. I could use some of them.
Yes.
But my dreams are that this country will be as democracy that we know, and that our children will be spared any grief, and that we make good decisions as citizens.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. That is so important. Brains, I'm telling you, this has just been one of my favorite interviews because I just adore her to the moon and back. Me, Mama, Mr. Magnificent, my daughter Chanel have all been touched and graced by her and her family and enveloped and learned so much. I want you to go and check out some of her work. She has a lot of things that are posted online. I want you to pick up one of her novels. She's going to definitely come back and talk about it at the release, and I'm going to have her do a reading. Her reading is just beautiful. Her poetry is inspiring. I just love everything about you, Arlene Jenness. Yes, I do.
Well, I hope I can be counted among your brains because they are terrific.
Yes, they are. And thank you so much for spending the morning with us and coming on and telling us about your wonderful career. Is there anything that you'd like to share with us before we conclude, wonderful?
Well, I just hope that we continue in your great work. I look forward to many more podcasts.
All right. Well, we're going to kill it here on the Brains. We are going to murder them. Again, like I said, there might be some squabbles, but we're going to come out on top, and we're going to do the very best that we can. And thank you so much. Brains, go back and listen to other edgy conversations here on Blog Talk Radio. Art, entertainment, music, science, Bitcoin, love, children. fashion. You name it, I got it for you, 110%. Because that's how I roll. Right, AJ?
You're right. You're right.
All right, Brain. You have an exceptional day. And thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. I love you. And I value you. Bye, AJ.
Bye-bye, Brains.